You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Gonna take it.
Legends in basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
All right, welcome into another episode of the Ryan and Goodman podcast. He's Bob Ryan. I'm Jeff Goodman. And we got a lot to talk about, Bob, a lot to talk about. We're going to run the gamut here. NBA playoffs, if you can call it that. I don't know if we can call it that with the play.
Well, I do. I know it's the play-in, and it's a different category with nonsense. It's the extended playoffs. You are, I know it.
Isn't it just this? Isn't it just about this?
Yeah.
More money?
Well, it's about, ultimately, it's about that and, you know, and maintaining interest. I mean, look, I was against it, but it's worked out to the way they hoped.
Yeah, you know, I mean, listen, it worked when you get LeBron and Steph.
It's worked out the way they hoped. Yeah,
preliminary round, right? Like,
right. So,
you can't argue with that.
I'm not going to fight it, but anyway, it's still the stupid the idea that they're going to have like a record book of play-ins. Are they going to send out a mimeograph to all of us? Huh? We know that Tatum holds the record now. You know.
Yeah, he does. We'll get to that in a minute. We'll get to Tatum's 50 in a minute, which I was there for. But let's start with Steph and LeBron. Last night, and listen, early on, it looked ugly. But you knew LeBron wasn't going to be rusty for long. And he comes back and wills them to victory, hitting a shot where he saw three rims. Bob, do you believe
him? My number one takeaway is the game was won and lost in the third quarter. In the third period, when they turned it over, immediately they put Schroeder on the line for four gimme free throws. Immediately the lead's 13-9, single digits, mental barrier, you know, crossed. And then they start turning it over. Now, whether they turned it over because they're just sloppy, which historically they have been, even when they were great, or the Lakers turned up the D, more likely it's a combination of both. And certainly Golden State didn't respond to the challenge if that was the case and gave up the easy basket and put the Lakers. And then they came back after that. The Lakers actually took the lead one possession and the Warriors extended it back out and had gained control of the game again. All right, that's number one. So that's my number one take. They lost in the third quarter, which historically the way they play, they've been sloppy and at times, and it cost them, period.
So, again, the part that I'm annoyed about with the play-ins is like, okay, you know what? It should be, if you want to do something, just do the 8-9. Just do the 8-9, and the winner's in, and the loser goes home. That's Steph shouldn't get another shot here. Like, that's it. You should be home now. Like, that's the part that four teams in it.
I don't know who came up with that one. I mean, I'm not going to paraphrase. I'm not going to channel my inner LeBron and anything on that regard to the nature of this thing. But I don't know how they came up with this format. It's a little fakakta format as far as I'm concerned. You know, so, you know, you like that, huh? So I haven't used that one in a while. But
I like
anyway,
fakakta. Yeah, fakakta, anyway, you don't hear that very often.
No, you know. Well, yeah, I'm an old guy. What am I going to do? But anyway, you're right. I agree with that. Okay. By the way, let the record show that LeBron was standing on the R of the word center, as in Staples Center, when he launched that shot, which is officially, by the way, on the map, if you look it up, that's called Curry Land.
Yeah, sure is.
And he shot from Curry Land.
an average shooter at best in his career. And so are you buying – well, first of all, how good of an actor is LeBron? When he got hit by Draymond, like how good – are you believing he couldn't see?
You don't see, think he was looking at three rims and he chose the middle one?
I think as you get older, Bob, I think as you get older, you tend to exaggerate a little bit.
I think our mutual powers of logic lead us in a direction that there was some thespianism going on. Yes. Now the younger and more naive members of the audience might take LeBron at face value, but I don't care who it is. It doesn't work that way. You know, it just doesn't work that way. If you really couldn't see, you couldn't eat. I'm sorry. Fine. I don't care.
It was a lucky shot. It was a lucky shot. Shot clock's going down. He throws up a heave. It goes in.
It was a shot clock heave that could have happened on any shot clock wind down in the game. But it happened to be at a propitious moment. And anybody can luckily make a shot now. Now, I'll say this. I'm sure if we annotate, we'll find out that he's had more than his share of big baskets at the end of clocks or near end of games in his time. But, you know, it isn't his thing necessarily. It is Steph's thing. Steph hit one at the end of the half.
Oh, my God.
Which was a shot. Great. Yeah. And when he hits it,
you're like, yeah, he meant to do that. Like it's scripted, whatever. When LeBron hits it, you're like,
he can create his own space for
his eyes open. You know, that's what you say when LeBron hits one of those.
But the fact that it was the great one, the player, and not, you know, no offense, not Kentavious Caldwell Pope. You know, fine. It was still, the game wasn't over. It was 58.2 seconds. A lot of basketball to be played. So the Warriors had their chances. All right, I want to get to my vent.
Okay.
One of my age-old theories is that every referee at every level of basketball, starting with youth, should have to pass a one question pass fail quiz before he or she is allowed to officiate that game. And that question is, why am I here? Why am I here? And my answer to that question is that I am here to adjudicate the smooth flow of the game. I am not here to prove to you that I know every comma in the rule book and that I will apply the rule book uniformly. No matter what the circumstance of the game, I will be a strict constructionist showing you how damn smart I am that I read and memorized the rule book. Okay? So what am I getting at? You don't make that call on Draymond Green for a brushing little setting the pick at that moment. Yeah. If you make it in the first quarter, I'm upset. If you make it in the fourth period, I am livid.
Yeah.
That's not a call you make. That's a marginal BS call.
Let it go.
And right. You know when.
I don't like to when people are like, well, a call in the first quarter is a call in the fourth quarter.
That's bull. That's bold. Somebody that doesn't understand the game.
Right.
I'm serious. I don't care.
You're right. Wrong. In the fourth quarter,
it's not true.
You got to officiate differently. You have to
officiate with, like a base of common sense.
Yep.
And the comment that is, I'll never forget. I thought about it immediately last night. In 1979, I am covering the Spurs and Bullets, a great seven-game series. And in game seven in the Cap Center, in the last minute of play of a one-point game or so, they made that call on the Whopper, Billy Paltz. And I remember after the game, it rings in my ear 42 years later. He'd been around a long time at that point. He said, I've been around a long time. I know enough not to even create the impression of contact on that play.
Sure.
And they made that call. Well, I thought of Billy Paltz last night. I hope he was watching.
Yeah, brutal call.
Wasn't the game, but it affected the game.
Absolutely.
It wasn't the game. And the Warriors had the last shot, and they didn't get down. So.
Did it matter to you now? I mean, the Lakers get Phoenix instead of Utah.
Yeah.
Is that a big deal to you?
That's the funny thing about this. I was thinking about this today. Is it, in my judgment, haven't we discussed this already? How good are Phoenix and Utah? We really don't know.
We don't know.
They had nice regular seasons. Right. Great. And I applaud it. And I'm a defender of the regular season, having once covered a team that won 68 games and did not win the championship due to an injury. But you don't tell me the memories they provided for those of us who watched them play weren't, they're still here 48 years later, okay? 47. All right. So they had great seasons and they deserve to be commended for their seasons. But this is a new ball game now. Yeah. And we don't know how. So, no, the answer to your question is, that's the funny part about this. Assuming Golden State wins against Memphis, not a given, but if it's Memphis, fine. All right, but Golden State, we're talking about them specifically because they lost this game last night. If they beat Memphis and they're going to play Utah, does that make any damn difference as to whether they had won last night and playing Phoenix? Ultimately, no.
No, I think maybe I might rather play Utah.
No.
I mean, if you feel bad though, like Chris Paul, who hasn't won a title and gets criticized for either being hurt in the postseason or not getting it done. He gets his boy LeBron now in the first round after their season. And it'll be they're both going to be great first round matchups if Golden State gets past Memphis and plays Utah now. Like, those are wars now. The Western Conference has some great matchups.
How about
start?
Oh, of course, 4-5. There's a lot at stake in 4-5. Right. Both those teams got things going on that, you know.
I can't believe the Clippers have been this average, mediocre all year. But what I will say to that is, does Kawhi in his mind just pace himself now? Is he that type of guy that just kind of works up to the postseason at this point after seeing what happened a couple of years
ago? He's got two of them to show for it. And you know, I wouldn't put it past him. He's smart. He's calculating. You know, his intelligence is a major part of his whole shtick. Remember, he's 6'6". He's not Durant. He's not Anthony Davis. He's not LeBron. He's a different physical being. And in order to accomplish what he accomplishes, you know, he's got to have a full mental and physical package. And he's very smart in this game. So now, very possibly, but he and George have a lot at stake, and that whole franchise has a lot at stake. You know, and so does Dallas. You know, with this two young Turks and you know, there's expectation. So you're right. There's a lot of and all over the map.
It'll be fun. The West is going to be awesome.
Yeah,
first round, 3-6.
Come on, you know, who knows who's going to win three? Denver and Portland.
Right.
I'd pay to see that.
All of them. All four of them.
I'd love to cover. I mean, I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, if I were going to do 7-game series as a writer, man, there's a lot of series I'd be very happy to cover.
Which one would you pick? How about that? If you had to pick a series in the West that you got to cover for 7 games, potentially, which one are you picking?
Well, I'm a Jokic suck up.
Yes, you are.
I'm afraid that would be that. I'm a Jokic guy.
And you haven't seen him in person, ever?
Never.
Yeah,
I'm strictly a TV guy and a convert, because when I first heard about him, you know, but anyway, I'm a convert. And
you know who told me about him? The first person to tell me about him that raved about him was Easy Ed Pinckney.
He was an assistant.
Yeah, he was an assistant in Denver at the time. And he said to me, we were talking before a game. It was on the road somewhere. I can't even remember what arena we were in. And he said to me, you got to watch this kid. It was his rookie year.
Yeah.
And Eddie obviously is working with the bigs every day. He said, this kid's going to be a stud. And I'm like, him? Really? And boy, was he right.
The Ryan and Goodman podcast brought to you by betonline.ag. BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but NBA and the NHL are in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. That's BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
What is your confidence level with the Lakers now coming out of that game, watching LeBron physically? AD's gotten a chance to certainly shake off some rust. against Phoenix and going forward, are they still your clear favorites or no?
Well, I never had a clear favorite necessarily, but I think I still have to. I hate betting against LeBron and assuming that his eyes are fine and he's going to get better and better.
The eyes are fine. Trust me, Bob. The eyes are fine.
He's going to get better and better. Last year they had the next factor was Rondo.
Yeah.
Last night, is Caruso going to play that role? They don't win without him last night.
Yeah.
And they don't win without him. And he remains the most improbable useful player in the league on a physical basis, right? And yet he's useful. And they don't win without him. But they're going to have rotating third man up, kind of thing, whether it's going to be Pope or God knows Kuzma is possible. You never know, anything's possible. Okay, let me ask you this. If you had put the proverbial Luger, only because of LeBron and who he is, I'd say, all right, I'll go with them. But I'm not. I'm just curious to see it. What do we expect from Drummond? And have they figured out exactly what they have in Drummond?
No, I don't think they figured it out yet because they haven't played together long enough.
Yeah, right.
Andre Drummond is, he'll rebound. He'll fight in there. He'll score a couple buckets. He's not a guy you can run anything through. He's big, he's strong. You don't know what you're going to get from him every night on the offensive end. But I think he helps him because he's a veteran who's better than anything they had.
Yeah. Well, Gasol's off the mat. He doesn't even play anymore.
Right.
Gasol's a nightly DMP.
Yep.
Now, I have a question. What's with Harrell? Was he hurt? And I didn't know it. He was hurt, right?
Yeah, but he was
hurt. He's become a DMP practically.
Yeah.
Well,
he's an energy big, but ultimately he can't really score. And people wanted to compare him to like Bam Adebayo, because again, they're both energy bigs, but Bam's just so good defensively.
Yeah. Also, of course, Schrader, who missed the end of the season, you got to give him the benefit of the doubt that he will play better.
I like him. I think he will. And I think he's fearless and tough, and he's what they need. He can be their Rondo.
Well, that's it. He's got that's the role he's been slotted into.
Yeah,
no question. And he could hit you with 20 any given night. He could hit you with 25. So we'll see. That number just jumped out at halftime. They were 4 for 28. LeBron, Davis, and Schrader were 4 for 28, and they were only down 13, and then only because Steph hit
a
monster shot at the buzzer. And anyway, there's so much more good basketball ahead of them. I think, they kind of dodged a bullet in that sense to pull it out last night. And the same thing we said about that. It didn't ultimately matter. They don't give a damn who they play.
Not like the teams in the East that advanced.
They're going to do what they do. And then they think it's going to be and assume it's going to be enough. Yeah. Well, it's fine. Okay.
So we'll flip it to the Eastern Conference play-in, and I went. I took my wife to the Wizards-Celtics game, and it's funny. I was going to go media. I was going to go because if you don't have to pay, why pay? But it was such a nice night out, and tickets weren't much at all. I mean, they were. It almost is that indicative. I wonder of the lack of interest in this Celtics team right now.
It could very well be, because there's such a profound cynicism about this group. They've squandered any goodwill that they had coming out of last year or even the last couple of years. This year, they really pissed people off, frankly.
Then you take Jaylen Brown out of the equation and people don't think they're going.
So they won the game. Tatum got 50. Kemba had 29. The rest of them had 38, I think it was. Fine.
It was the quietest 50 I've seen maybe in my life, Bob. It was just such a quiet, because that's how kind of Tatum operates, right? He's smooth. He doesn't talk trash. He's not yelling and screaming after every bucket he makes. Right. He started slow. He really did.
Right, he had 17-point third quarter. Started. What I liked about it was the nature of it was the fact that they included 17 free throws, which of course he made them all. But it was a balanced offensive
Agreed.
Concept.
Agreed.
He did a little bit of everything. It showcased his full repertoire. He hit some threes. He's some difficult. It's a beautiful mid-range post-up, you know, turnaround. And he went to the hoop, which he, you know, has always been able to do beautifully. But he bounced everything out to get those 50. And I like that. That's the way he can play, and I want him to play. And people always ask him to play. Not fall in love with one thing or the other, but, you know, balance it out. And it seemed very casual and comfortable, and it wasn't piggy. I've seen piggy, you know, everything's 20.
No, he wasn't shot hunting. Like, it wasn't like he was forcing it. And I actually came away saying, like, I don't even think it was like his A game. I honestly really don't think it was his A game, and he had 50 points.
So I don't know what they were. Fine. They won. I'm glad they won. And I think that told us, really, if you were total dead neutral, and I said the following, was this game more about the Celtics or the Wizards?
Yeah, the Wizards just don't.
This is a team came, you know, barreling down the stretch, 17-6. They were dead in the water. They got in. Westbrook's magnificent every night. Yes. Beal, though, wasn't himself. We know Beal.
No, he couldn't move. You could see at times he's grabbing his hamstring.
Yeah. He wasn't the same. And Westbrook would have needed a superhuman effort to pull him through.
You know what it was, too? You know what I thought a big key was? I don't know how many I can look back as we're talking, but Rui Hachimura picked up 4 or 5 fouls as quick as I've seen a player pick up. He played 16 minutes and picked up 5 fouls. But I'm telling you, he had 3 fouls in 5 minutes.
Not good, yeah, not good.
And they don't have anybody else. Then they had to put Beal on Tatum.
Yeah.
And Beal isn't healthy, and he's given up 5 inches, 6 inches.
5, 6 inches, yeah.
Tatum, that's when Tatum started to get going. Is Beal couldn't, you know, on switches, couldn't get out on Tatum. And Tatum had far more space to operate with in the third quarter. So I'm still watching Bradley Beal, saying to myself, man.
I know you are.
Put him with Kemba, third quarter Kemba, and put him with this Jason Tatum. I just felt like early, and you're watching Beal, and he just makes the right read way more than Jaylen Brown does. Ultimately, it just keeps coming down to the fit. And I keep saying to myself, when I watch Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum play, it looks like they were thrown on the playground together for the first time. A lot of times it looks like they've never played ball together, where I think Beal and Tatum, they obviously have, because they hang out all the time.
Not to mention they got the friendship thing. They got the connection, you know? Yeah. I mean, that's, I'm sorry. Yeah. No question.
That's a big part of it. All right. So what chances do you give the Jaylen Brown less Boston Celtics against the big three, KD, Kyrie and James Harden? And how much is this going to piss you off to watch Kyrie run roughshod on the Celtics?
My goal is win one game, salvage some dignity. And I think that the bet is that they'll sweep. The Celtics get a game, fine. You know, I'll be happy. Anything over that is total house money. And I'm a, you know, I know people hate that phrase, but I love it. And they're playing, to me, the whole thing's house money now. So, win a game, be great. But I don't 50-50, they can win a game at best, I think. That's about it. That team crushed them during the regular season, and I don't see any evidence that it's going to change dramatically in the playoffs.
Yeah, listen, I'm with you there. And you know, to me, again, it's about if Tatum can be a star in this series.
Yeah, right.
What else are you going to see? What else, you know, for me, it's honestly more about the Brooklyn team and how they're going to look and how they're going to use this series to honestly get prepared for the next one.
Yeah, no kidding. They're still a work in progress in terms of this unity thing. There's no question about it. Everyone knows it. This is their opportunity. So, and they're very fortunate that they're, you know, the Celtics at full strength they were better than, but now Celtics without Brown, with Rob Williams, who knows? He's hurt.
He's always hurt
all the time. I mean, the other night wasn't his fault. He had the classic. He came down on Tatum's foot.
Is that what it was? I couldn't tell in person.
He had the classic. I saw the replay. He came right down. This is like anybody playing pickup basketball. This is an injury that is always waiting to happen.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. So, yeah.
It's just one thing after the other with Robert Williams.
Yeah, hip and this and this and other, you know.
Everything. And how reliable is he going to be? Which is why I still say, I know Celtics fans love him. He's got all the talent in the world, all the upside in the world. But you know what? Upside doesn't win you games. So unless you're on the court, I don't know. I think if I'm Danny Ainge, I'm absolutely dangling Robert Williams in the offseason and seeing what I can get for him in a package with, again, to me, I would do Jalen Brown and Robert Williams for Bradley Beal. That's me. That's me. I know people think I'm nuts, and I wouldn't start there. I'd start with just straight up and throwing a first-round pick. But if I had to do it, if it was the only thing I could do to get Bradley Beal, I would do that trade. I would.
All right. We've established that.
We have established that.
What about Philly? My theory on them is
– I mean, Philly's going to cakewalk in. I mean, listen, whether they play Washington with a banged-up Bradley Beal or they're going to play Indiana, and we don't know if they're going to have Caris LeVert. I mean, they're going to have the easiest series of anybody in the NBA.
Yeah. So it's a matter of down the road. Philly, it seems to me that there was a good marriage of a group of guys who needed another boss. They needed another voice. Yeah. And a coach who needed another set of ears. Yeah. And they found each other.
100%. Listen, I love Brett Brown. I love him. But, like, he was brought in to lose games. He was brought – he made it much longer than anybody thought he would make it. And I think ultimately he was put in an impossible situation because when you're brought in to lose games like he was by Sam Hinkie and Embiid's there from the beginning. And again, I always said part of the problem was Ben Simmons wasn't happy necessarily with the kid gloves treatment of Joel Embiid. That's what I was told by sources is he could call his shots when he wanted to practice, when he couldn't. He was the franchise and he was coming off 2 years of being hurt.
Yeah.
So they had to kind of play him that way. But, you know, I just think it was one of those things where they just needed a change of scenery as much as anything. They needed a new voice and nobody better, again, at establishing relationships and connecting people than one Glenn Doc Rivers.
Yeah, no. Of course, I'm really, you know, happy for him always. But it worked out really, really well. It has worked out well so far. So anyway, you're right. They're going to breeze through the first round, whatever it is. And then fun will start. Another series I'm very curious about is the 3-6. Yeah. Because, you know, Miami are playing well.
Yeah. Yeah. Who knows? And that one.
And you know, they have confidence against this particular foe. All right. It's a different team. The Holiday is there. It's not Bledsoe and I'll understand that. But nonetheless, I think that Miami will enter this thing with it, feeling very good about its chances. So,
all right, let's move on to you went to something in person.
I went to the Hall of Fame weekend with my daughter, and we had a very, very nice time. And
did you stay both nights? Were you there Friday?
Both nights. I was there Friday night for the Kurt Gowdy Award presentation and the Manny Jackson Human Spirit Award. And they've added two new media awards this year. And I can't forget. One has to do with the word insight. And that was given to Jim Gray. Of course, the media awards, the Kurt Gowdy, the print was Michael Wilbon, where people, you know, only know him now for television, but it was right. He worked for Washington Post writer for 30 years, covered a ton of basketball and Mike Breen. And, you know, how can you not like Mike Breen? So that was the Kurt Gowdy broadcast winner. And then they have an award that's been instituted for about 4 or 5 years ago by Manny Jackson, who was the former owner of the Globetrotters. And Manny, who had amazing life history, by the way, including once living in a boxcar. Talk about upward mobility. Well, Manny Jackson, no, literally, he has an autobiography telling you about living in a boxcar. But he put his name on an award called the Manny Jackson Human Spirit Award, and it was shared by three people, three NBA titans, if you will, or two NBA titans and one collegiate titan. Wayne Embry, the great Wayne Embry, Bill Russell, you may have heard of him, and George Raveling. Who seems to show up everywhere. Yes. And George Raveling. So that was that night. It was a very nice night. Got to schmooze with a lot of people.
Yeah, so explain to people what the night is like. Again, I saw some of the – and I went years ago. I was going to go this year, invited my dad and he wasn't comfortable going. And then was thinking of bringing my daughter, who really wanted to go, but I thought she'd be bored. Well, so,
you have a dinner. Yep. And then we and a couple of speeches there, and then we relocate over to the ceremony, and the ceremony is it was in the arena, the Mohegan Sun Arena, the home of the Connecticut Sun, right. And there's a podium and stage, and you had nine people, but there's no presenting speech, so you know it's not one of those deals where you have the introduction, and then so it's really 18 speeches, and you're there until 3 a.m. No, first of all, it's televised. And so there's 2.5 hour window, and I think they even needed to stretch in the end. So that was good. So you have 9 people. The presenters are just ornament. They're symbolic. Everyone has to be presented, accompanied by a Hall of Famer. So one Hall of Famer served double duty. Michael Jordan was not only the presenter for Kobe, but was the presenter for Barbara Stevens. The head coach of Bentley, the former head coach, he just retired at Bentley University, 1,000 game winner and national champion in 2014. So we were real proud of her in Greater Boston. I don't know what the connection was, but that Michael was her presenter.
The big guns.
Yeah, the big guns. The three Hall of Famers.
So KG's for me. Can I tell you what I thought? I was really, really surprised by Kevin Garnett's speech. It was very tame. He thanked everybody. I wanted to hear more stories, but I think KG just kind of got up there and was almost like, I don't know, surprised. Like, I think it hit him. It just, you could see it hit him, the magnitude of, oh my God, like I was a high school kid coming out of Chicago and now I'm here in front and seeing Michael Jordan and all these guys, Magic in the front row. He was very, very, very tame.
Not only Chicago, South Carolina.
Right.
You know, he's really a South Carolina guy. Right. Okay. Here's what I loved about what he did. The first words out of his mouth. No A and the nothing. First word. Start off. Bill Willoughby.
Yes. Moses.
Daryl Dawkins.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moses Malone.
Yeah.
And Spencer Haywood.
Yeah.
And thank them for setting the table. For his ability, his willingness and his awareness to come out after 20 years when nobody had done it.
Yep.
After that group, he got the right, the three guys that did it that were back in the 70s that came out of high school and went right to the NBA. People forget about Bill Poodles Willoughby, but he was one of them who, by the way, I have to made one of the great blocks in the history of basketball. We'll talk about that in a minute. Anyway, KG paid immediate reverential homage to those guys. He won me over with that right away. And you're right. He was very, very tame. He was very, very heartfelt. It was very good.
Yeah. Tim Duncan.
Well, Tim Duncan. First of all, since we last saw him, at least I didn't see him as when he was coaching with the Spurs. So since the last time many of you saw him as a player, and after the 20 years of looking at him with his close cropped head, he's got the dreads going.
Yeah, it's
he's going. He's gone back to the island roots.
Yeah.
And the only person who A, did not wear a tie, but did the open look Ted Williams look, yeah. And B, the only person who didn't work a speech from a prompter, but who winged it.
He did.
He winged it.
Wow.
And it was.
I love that. I gotta tell you.
I admire it. And
Tim Duncan, of all people,
you didn't know what he was going to do. He didn't really want to be there. Seriously, even down to the minute that he walked up the stairs.
Yeah.
He was sitting there, and he had his family, and little girl was playing, and they announced him. He goes, "Look, I went like, all right, I guess I got to do this." That's the look he had.
Yeah, yeah.
He got up there, and he was terrific, but he's gone back to the island. He's got the dreads, and he looked so cash.
Yes.
But his speech was fine, naturally. Of course, we all know the background, Hurricane Hugo there. But, we saw some great clips, some video clips of him as a swimmer, the 12, 13-year-old. Yeah. So, So it was fine. But
how much was Kobe missed? Because I'm not going to lie to you. Like, I think if Kobe had been there, I would have went. I do. I think part of it for me was seeing Kobe's, like, I didn't think Duncan would be all that entertaining.
Yeah. I think it's been muted. If this had taken place in June or May of 2020, 3 months, 4 months after the fact, after this, when we're still in shock, we're still in disbelief. And I mean, everybody who follows basketball, not to mention the people who are in that room and, you know, that those specifically that, you know, that had a relationship and for whom, you know, he met so much, would have been heavier. It would have been different, would have been a tougher night for all concerned, would have been certainly a problem in a sense, unfair problem for Garnett and Duncan specifically, you know, but it's a year removed. It's, you know, I think it made a difference in the atmosphere the air wasn't as heavy as it would have been. Okay. Rudy T steals the show.
Did he?
Who knew? He did. Rudy T. A conventional, you know, what are you going to do? It's like the Oscars. You thank everybody you ever met, you know, although nobody, the world record for thanks was Allen Iverson. He thanked a trillion people. All right. Yeah, that was so funny. Okay. He gave his tradition. It was a traditional speech and humble and fine and everything. And then as he's rounding third and heading for home, the mixed metaphors, the mixed sports here, and Robert Horry belongs in this Hall of Fame. And Robert Horry should be here. And Robert Horry should be standing. And he's doing it. And this is what Ted Williams did in 66 for the Negro League players, you know. But, yeah, who saw that coming? Rudy T went to bat for Robert Horry. And it was like a moment of, whoa. Everybody's going,
where did that come from?
Yeah. Right. So that was cool.
All right. So my question to you, Robert Horry, does he belong?
That is, if I
a
were
a lot of rings, Bob.
Seven. There's another. And it wasn't as if he was an insignificant contributor. We know of at least one phenomenally important shot, probably with at least two or three, right? But we know the one, you know, and yeah, without those, him making some of those baskets, they don't win. Plus, the Steve. But I don't think he's a Hall of Fame player.
I don't either, Bob. I'm with you.
You know what's funny? What's funny is this. It was presented, I don't know how many years ago, when the person that was the trivia questioner, the question was this. Whose career would you rather have? Robert Horry or Charles Barkley?
Oof, boy.
Now this question was posed 8-10 years ago, you know, and you know, we see where you're going with this, right? And, you know, to me, I still would rather be Barkley. But
you would.
Oh, yeah.
I'd rather be Horry.
Really? I'd rather be Barkley. I know how good
Barkley. I don't know. Like, listen, all the attention and all that, that's great for Barkley. Like, but if you look at it from the core of, I guess, what you want to say, you should say Robert Horry. Now, again, if you're going through both careers, you're saying, I'm the guy, right? I'm Barkley. I'm the guy and everything like that. But, man, yeah, winning. Winning should be the most important thing.
What went through? Yeah, but it was very important. And I should say, they don't win without him, but he wasn't the reason they won.
Nope.
He wasn't the reason. There's never the reason. So, but he wasn't as important as the guy.
And it wasn't like Barkley was on bad teams. He wasn't on
Barkley had team. One great shot. He only had one great shot, and that was 93. And you know, and they had a six-game series, including a triple overtime. And Phoenix, they had a shot. They had a shot, you know, and they didn't get it done. And that's when Michael was out to prove, you know, every time they set somebody up, Michael was going out through him. You know, it was a Clyde Drexler. It was
not who it was.
It was someone else. Oh, Marley. At one point, Marley was they got two of them on the Suns team, Marley and Barkley. Yeah. By the way, and referenced it, Robert Horry thing, who's sitting out there 50 feet or less in front of Rudy when he's doing this? Charles Barkley. And that's the first thing that went through my mind is that Rudy's up here is advocating and stopping for Horry, and the guy that was the part B of the what if question is sitting there. But all in all, I enjoyed the time. Of course, it's great to get to see people naturally, and you know,
I'm going to go next year. Next year, I'm going to go. I'll take my dad. Part of it too, if I'm taking my daughter, that means I can't go play blackjack probably at night. I hope they keep it in Mohegan Sun.
Now they're going back Springfield.
They are.
It's September 10th and 11th.
Oh,
the next one up. Have the quick turnaround.
Yeah.
This was class of 2020.
Yeah.
Now we have class of 21.
Growing your business takes more than offering a popular product or service.
it's essential to have the right people in place to ensure your company operates smoothly and has the potential to expand. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the best candidates for free. Get started by posting your job for free to reach LinkedIn's network of 740 million professionals. Fill out targeted screening questions to get your role in front of the most qualified candidates with the experience, skills, and motivation you need. Then use simple tools to filter and prioritize the top candidates you'd like to interview. LinkedIn Jobs will help you hire the right person for your role. And your first job post is free. So just visit linkedin.com/good. Again, that's linkedin.com/good to post your first job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
All right, quickly. The new inductees, the new enshrinees.
Yep.
Chris Webber.
Yeah. I mean, again, like, I just don't think of, like, but it's different now. It's different. It's not what it used to be. So does Chris Webber deserve it based on some of the guys that have gotten in over the last few years? Maybe. I wouldn't put Chris Webber in the Hall of Fame.
Well, you know, I wouldn't. It's one of my least favorite players.
Yeah.
Chris Bosh. Better again, than I thought.
No.
Better than I thought, though.
Huh?
His career, 19 points.
I just don't think of Chris Bosh as a Hall of Famer.
Okay, that's fine. And that's the way the voting goes. No. People, the panel, all right, Chris Bosh, all right. Paul Pierce is no brainer.
Yeah, no.
And it's a
although I still say Paul Pierce, without Kevin Garnett, I'm not sure he's like a Hall. I don't know. I mean, again,
trajectory. Yeah, it was interesting. Yeah.
I mean, they didn't win with him. Like, Paul Pierce was a losing player until Kevin Garnett came along.
Well, and now it was Garnett and Allen. I mean, the three of them. It was the
totally
three.
Yes, the yes.
Yeah, who's the fourth one? I forget. I'm
player was who's the fourth player? Jay Wright made it for college.
Yep. Oh no, Ryan Goodman podcast guest, of course.
Yep. Yeah, I was happy to. I mean, I tweeted it 10 years ago. Think about that, Jay Wright. 10 years ago, people were talking about losing his job.
Yeah.
And what else we got here?
The fourth player. Come on, it drives me crazy. We got to look it up.
I got it. Ben Wallace. Wallace.
Now, there's an interesting one.
Really interesting.
Four-time defensive player of the year. I never would have thought about him. And when it was presented to me, and I said, oh, really? The fact of the matter is, compared to this year's class, it's rather underwhelming.
You think?
Oh, wow. No offense, but come on. It's just this was the most decorated class ever. I mean, I gave you the numbers last time. At 26 first team All NBAs. Come on, it's ridiculous. But this next class is, I'm saying we're happy for Jay though. We're happy for Jay Wright.
Me too. All right, you wanted to close before we did this.
Oh yeah, I want to hear. I want to know. All right, Dino Gaudio, give me your I want your Cliff Notes version, but. I don't understand the violations. Not that I care, but what's this violation about grad assistance?
Let's set up with what happened.
All right, go ahead. You lay it out.
Pod, we'll have no idea what happened.
You lay it
Basically,
out.
Basically, Chris Mack hired Dino Gaudio about 3 years ago when he took over at Louisville. They've been friends forever. Okay, Dino Gaudio was assistant under Skip Prosser. When Skip died, he took over as the head coach at Wake. 3 years, went to the tournament two of the 3 years, and then was fired. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Dino's a little flammable. Okay. He's not the easiest guy to get along with when I've talked to people that have worked with him. Okay. He's strong opinions, whatever. Chris Mack fires Dino Gaudio and Luke Murray, Bill Murray's son, about 2 months ago. And it kind of came out of nowhere a little bit, but Louisville didn't make the tournament this year. The staff was not very cohesive. I will say that according to my sources, they didn't get along great together. Mm-hmm. So something needed to be done. So he fires Dino Gaudio. Dino Gaudio goes ballistic, goes absolutely nuts, and basically says, unless you pay me for the next 18 months, I'm going to go to the media and tell him about all the illegal violations you've done. Now, Chris Mack was smart enough to record it. Yeah, he recorded. Smart move. And here's why. Smart move, because Dino Gaudio wasn't going to move forward with anything after that because he knew it was all on tape. So he had to basically say, I didn't mean it, right? I didn't mean any of that, right? It was heat of the moment. I didn't mean it. Now, if Chris Mack didn't have it on audio, Dino Gaudio might have continued to try to extort, which was the word.
Yeah, well, that was the word I would have used.
Right. So anyway, so Chris Mack, Dino Gaudio, the violations.
What are the alleged violations?
They're level 3 violations. So one of them was like a grad assistant practicing with the team. Well, I guess if you're a grad assistant, you have to, certain grad assistants can practice, certain ones can't. I don't know the rules. It's the
What's
dumbest the thing ever.
What is it? Who would even put a rule like that in?
It's the NCAA.
What's the point?
No point. Okay. It's a level 3 violation that is irrelevant. Who cares, right?
Yeah, right.
The other one is when kids come on campus, you know, everybody makes like a recruiting video for the kids when they visit, or I guess even maybe over Zoom you do it now over the last year. I don't know when this happened, but it might have been a couple of years ago when they were coming on campus. You can't personalize the videos. Like you can't put Ryan, if you're coming to campus, they can't put like Ryan on the back of a jersey. It's got to be. So that's the other.
What a horrible.
Two of the dumbest things ever.
What a
right?
horrible thing. Oh my God. I'm
so the worst part is like a lot of media people are like killing this. And again, it's an embarrassment for Louisville. It should have never gotten to this point because ultimately the FBI got involved. And if I'm Louisville, I'm saying like, no, we don't want the FBI involved. Like we're dropping this. And if I'm Dino Gaudio, I'm saying like, I want this dropped too. Like, so both sides should have agreed. But I guess once it gets to a certain point with the feds, they're already involved. But like, why would the FBI even, it was a disgruntled employee.
Yeah.
Who was pissed off and said some things that he might've meant, but once he was on tape, in his mind, he didn't mean them anymore.
But meanwhile, you have set yourself, you presented yourself to the world at large in the world that you're trying to work in as a distrustful person, as a bad guy. I mean, who wants to hire somebody that's going to turn around and do that?
He's done anyway. He was going to retire. He was going to retire from what I was told after next year. So he wanted to get paid and then be able to retire at 65 and probably be done.
I mean, this is burning that bridge. I mean, to me,
he's done. Yeah, he's done. And he was out when he got fired. At Wake, he did ESPN, a lot of ESPN stuff for about 10 years. And Chris Mack, being really close with him, hired him on. And I remember telling Mack, I was like, why are you hiring? Like, he's not going to get you players. He's 60, you know, 60 years old. He's been out for a while. He's not going to get you players. So anyway, yeah, that thing went.
Okay. All right. Good. I wanted to air that out. That was
interesting. I mean, certainly interesting. And again, Louisville. People are, you know, they're the butt of anybody's joke because they've had 2 extortions here in 10 years or so, whatever it's been when Patino got extorted by the woman. So it's not pretty. All right. Well, listen, appreciate everybody joining us as usual. Ryan and Goodman podcast. We'll be back next week. And the real playoffs, NBA playoffs, will be underway next week, Bob. So we'll have a lot more to talk about. And we'll see how these series is again, Western Conference. I actually think most of the conferences, most of the series is even the Eastern Conference are going to be intriguing. So can't wait to get going here once we get through the play-in round and get to the real deal.